wish there was Wycliffe or some other body, but he says, I'm the only person, okay? And he says, there's actually dozens and dozens of
Praise the Lord.
So there's actually many hundreds and hundreds of languages that have never been translated, and people don't have the Bible or the gospel in their language. Okay? I always need my wife to make me look better.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And so Paul says that statement, all right? That in his generation, every creature that was on the earth at the time in Rome and Asia Minor, that they heard the gospel. So, you know, it begs the question, how is that possible? Was there something that the early church had or did that we can learn from? And so this morning I'm going to give you four things about that early church, okay, that we can take from and learn from. So, if you would go in your Bible to let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So number one, all right, everybody say number one is the word of God was preached in great strength, in great power. Okay, and so people came and they heard the word of God. They listened to the word of God. In fact, the word here. In the Hebrew, the word here actually has a double meaning. It means to hear, all right, but it also means to obey. The same word is for hearing means also obey, all right. So it literally means to hear with the intention of obeying. Now, how many of us actually hear the word of God with the intention of obeying it? And that's why, you know, in the Old Testament, you read language like this. Well, if you hearken until the voice of the Lord your God in, you know, obey him or do his commandments. Or Jesus also said, if you hear these things of mine and doeth them, right? Because the word hear and obey is actually the same, okay? And so when we look in the book of Acts, the people came. They came to hear the word. They, as we read here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Okay. Notice it says that they continued. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, I was in India several years ago, and, you know, a lot of times you go to these places and you're there for days and weeks and you're teaching 7-8 hours a day, okay? Well, I got to this one day, it was like Thursday, you know, and I'm spent. You know, I'm pouring out to these students. And so I get to the end, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm said, okay, we're done for the day. And this lady lifts up her hand, she says, Oh, Pastor, please don't stop now. Please don't stop now. We have waited all of our lives to hear this word. And we know that it's this word that will change our lives. What do? You say, okay, 2 more hours. All right. Wouldn't it be great if we come to a service of churches today and you're like, oh, Pastor, please don't stop now. Who cares about the football game? You know, who cares about going to lunch? Let's keep on. Hallelujah. Let's look at the Acts chapter 6, verse 4. It says, they devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Okay? They devoted themselves. Man, they were locked in. Acts chapter 19, verse 20 says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It was the word of God that grew. The word of God that prevailed, okay? I was at Liberty University 4 years ago, and they were talking about trying to get pastors to preach the word. They had done a study in Virginia where they reached out to the churches and the pastors in Virginia, and they said, are you willing to preach the word, you know, to what degree? You know, what, uncompromisingly or not so much? Well, you know, 50% of the pastors said, listen, we're not going to preach anything that's going to offend. And fear of man. Fear of man. Instead of boldly, come on now, boldly preaching the uncompromised word of God, speaking the truth. Come on now. I mean, we're called to speak the truth. The church's voice should be the loudest voice in the earth. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Amen? And so in the early church, man, they got hold of the word of God. The word of God grew mightily, and it prevailed. And it prevailed. You know, like Paul committed the church in Thessalonica. He said, because they received the word and they welcomed it. They welcomed it, all right, which effectually works within them. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:13, all right? And so even in Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, preach the word in season and out of season. Preach the word. If I say preach the word. And be ready at all times. Yeah, be ready at all times, okay? Preach the word in season and out of season. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, always be prepared, be ready to give an answer to every person concerning your faith. All right? Give a defense of the gospel. All right? Be prepared. How many church people are prepared today to give an answer for why they believe what they believe? All right. How many are ready to defend your gospel? How many of y'all can defend someone who has in the world, all right, who wants to have an agenda that goes contrary to the word of God? How many of us can defend our faith and say, no, this is what the word of God says, and I believe God's word in Jesus' name? You see, so the word of God was very strong. It was people adhered to it, and people spoke about it, and so that the early church believed in very strongly that the word of God was the truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, number two, all right? Not only were they strong in the word, but they were strong in the spirit. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, okay? Who knows what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says? It says, and you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was never meant to be just an experience. We've made it a Pentecostal experience. All right? And it's almost like a definition, like, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're not. Or, you know, I go to a church that's, you know, non-denominational, or you go to, you know, and so we've kind of made, put like this experience on this, okay? But the baptism, the filling of the Holy Ghost, okay, had a purpose. It had a purpose, which he said this. He said, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? Or you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be what? Witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Witnesses. And what does he say witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where? To the ends of the world. Maybe the acid test of being filled with the Holy Spirit should not be whether you you're operating the gifts of the Spirit or in the gift of prophecy. Maybe the acid test of being filled with the Holy Spirit is how many lost are you winning to the Lord? Because by this definition, okay, all right, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Just something to think about. You know, we were, Beth and I, we were part of a great move of God. You know, it really started in Tulsa, and it went to Toronto. But we were, you know, some of y'all have knew about the Toronto blessing, and of course there's been many, many different outpourings, okay, that have happened. You know, we're in for the greatest. Just so you know, we're in for the greatest, okay? And so there are new moves, new things that are getting ready to take place that have never taken place before. We're going to see miracles like you've never seen. Does that excite you at all? Okay, all right. Are y'all hungry to see more this morning? Yes. Amen. All right, so God is going to show up and demonstrate himself, okay? And so, you know, we were part of seeing some great outpouring, and you know, and we were trained at Rhema with Kenneth Hagin, and you know, and so he told us at that time, he says, my greatest concern is that the church will miss the move of God. And he went around and he had Holy Ghost meetings, all right, to train people on hearing the voice of the Lord, hearing the Holy Spirit. He says, if they don't know the Holy Spirit, they're not going to know the move of the Spirit. So until they know the Holy Spirit as a person, until they know the Holy Spirit as a person, how are they going to know if it's real or not when there's a move of the Holy Spirit? Okay? So he trained us. He went around, you know, all the country just doing these Holy Spirit meetings, okay? And so now I'm beginning to see some of the churches that they're having Friday night flow nights, all right? These things are popping up, Friday night flow nights, where people just come, and there's no real agenda, okay? Let's just yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Let's just flow with the Holy Spirit. Let's just go with the Holy Spirit, okay? Because this is how we're going to get into this great, great awakening, this great revival that's taking place. Now, I'm so thrilled this morning. Hey, we had a demonstration of the Spirit, right? All right, we had gifts of the Spirit in operation, okay? But how many of there's more of that? And God wants to use more people in that way, all right? So that, because we're all can yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and we all can, move with the Spirit. And so, I remember hearing about the old-timers back in the 30s and 40s. They didn't know much of the Bible, but they knew the Holy Ghost. Like they would get on their knees and they would pray and they would get before God and they would lock into the Holy Ghost, all right, until they got an answer. Boy, we can learn some things from them, okay? You know, people that just got locked into God and they pressed in, they persevered. Man, they got on their knees, they interceded, they took the burden of the Lord, so to speak. They got into tremendous intercession, and they got before the Lord, and they didn't stop until they got a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Come on now. You know, can we do a little bit better in our generation, all right? Yeah, I bet we can, okay? And so, you know, every time that we come to church, okay, the Holy Spirit always wants to say something, and he always wants to do something, all right? And so I just come in, I say, okay, Holy Ghost, what do you want to say? What do you want to do this morning? All right, because I can't wait. Would you like to do some new things that I've never seen before? Okay, show me, all right? Now, like what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, verse 4, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with human wisdom, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit in the power, that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. How many of y'all like some demonstrations, okay? All right? You know, we talk about, it's been said before that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was the spoken word. It was Jesus. It was about what Jesus said and what Jesus did. It was centered more on the Word. But the Acts is centered more on the Acts of the Holy Spirit, where God was moving in the early church, okay? And so Paul said this, man, I didn't come to just give you a few of my own opinions. All right? I came to you with a demonstration, with the Spirit and power. And you know what people need right now is they need the Spirit of God. They need the power of God. They need an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we need more Holy Ghost encounters, okay? Because when you get a Holy Ghost encounter, man, your life is forever changed. And you walk away from that service and you go, oh, man, I wish I could just stay like this for the rest of my life, okay? And God can do a work in you. God can do more for you in 5 minutes while you're laying out on the floor than you can do for yourself in a lifetime. I mean, y'all know that to be true. Amen? And so let's hunger after these things, okay? Let's not, let's go for it, all right? Let's go for it. Let's just, you know, if we're singing about dancing, let's just start dancing, all right? If we're singing about running around, just start running. Look. You know, y'all want to see a move of the Spirit right now? Y'all want to see a move of the Spirit? Yeah, I'll show you one. That's it. That was a move of the Spirit, okay? Because the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. Amen. Hey, so, you know, Smith Wigglesworth said this. He says, if God isn't moving, I move God. Hallelujah. And so, you know, so often churches are putting brakes on the Holy Ghost. And, you know, right now the church model is an hour and 15 minutes. All the big churches are going to that, and they make no room for the Holy Ghost. They have no altar calls. They have no application of, you know. And I don't know. We need to make room. We need to make room for the Holy Spirit, okay, more and more. How many all with me this morning? Okay? Hallelujah. And so, when I look back to the early church, I don't believe that they, you know, had their cell phones and they had their, you know, they put a timer on the move of God. I mean, you look at Paul was preaching at midnight, okay? You know, how many services have we had that gone till midnight? Okay, you know, but see, what I'm saying is this, is that what we're coming into right now is that it's church not as usual. It's church not as usual anymore. Okay, and so if we're going to move with God, all right, he says, well, I've got some things that you've never seen before. I've got some new things that I want to do in this season. How many are with me? Hallelujah. And so the early church was strong in the Word, and they were strong in the Spirit, okay? The Bible says in Acts 13 that as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to them. And so let's allow ourselves when we come together to minister to Him, minister to the Lord, okay? And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit is going to speak in our midst. Can you say amen? Amen. Thirdly is the early church, they had a heart for the world. Now, it didn't start in Jerusalem. It's often said that the book of Acts is about two individuals and about two churches. Two individuals, Peter and Paul. Peter starts things off in the day of Pentecost, and he stands up and he says, repent, be baptized, call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And that day, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel, and 3,000 men came to the Lord. Amen? And so Peter kicked things off in the early part of the book of Acts, and we see miracles, we see signs and wonders. The Bible says that multitudes were added to the Lord. I mean, there was exponential growth that took place in the early church for the first 10 to 12 years. And so the Jerusalem church was the place to be. You know, loaded up the truck, then moved to Jerusalem. Okay. You know, it, and so, but the So if you were in the church in Jerusalem, there were signs and wonders, people getting saved, okay, all kinds of things taking place. I mean, it was like you would think it would be the model church, all right? But then everything changed in Acts 11, Acts 13, because that Jerusalem church died out. It's like they just never were mentioned ever again. Well, why was that? Is even though they had all the bells and whistles, they failed in one way, and that is they only stayed in Jerusalem. They only ministered to the Jews. They stayed in town. They didn't want to leave town. And yet, several times Jesus said, listen, I want you to go preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Make disciples, okay? Listen, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. I say in Jerusalem. And then in Judea. And then in Samaria. And then to the ends of the world. So then we see in Acts 11, verse and 13, the Antioch church comes up. All right? And Barnabas went down to Antioch. I preached many times in Antioch. We've been part of a church there. And, you know, when Barnabas came down, in Turkey, the church historians say that when Barnabas showed up at the Antioch church, there were 25,000 believers. So, you look, he shows up there and he goes, he was like a wow, because he saw the grace of God, okay? And he was like, whoa, where do these believers come from, okay? And so, we see this in Acts chapter 13. Let's just pick it up there in Acts 13, verse number 1. Just read it. It says, now in the church there was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, okay? Barnabas, Simeon, and there's several lists. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. All right? Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. This was the birth of the missionary movement. They sent them out. And the Antioch church, they sent out their best team. They sent out their leadership. They didn't send out their youth group. They didn't send out their new believers. They said, listen, we're going to take the best of the best, the dream team, okay? And we're going to leave. And we're going to, in other words, we're going to show other people the way. You know, I believe that in this day and this hour, okay, it's up to us. Those of us that have been around for a while, those of us that have experienced the Spirit of God and the move of the Spirit of God, it's up to us to lead the way for this younger generation. I mean, we have a younger generation, they don't even know books of the Bible. All right, and it's going to be up to us to lead the way, okay? So guess what? We've got to stir ourselves up, all right? We've got to be ready, all right, to lead the way, to show people, to show the younger generation the move of the Spirit, okay? And so if it wasn't for the Antioch church, when they left and they went out, they went into all the world and preached the gospel. We would never have any of the churches in the New Testament if it wasn't for the Antioch church. We wouldn't have the churches at Corinth. We wouldn't have the seven churches in Revelation. We wouldn't have any Ephesians, Galatians, okay, Philippians. We wouldn't have any of those works if it wasn't for the believers there in Antioch, that they took the mission. They took the mission to go into all the world. You know, today there are churches that take the mission just for Jerusalem. And that's fine. We need to reach Jerusalem. But it's like, okay, we have a North Campus, we have a South Campus, but somewhere along the way, we have to take the Great Commission seriously. Yes, Jerusalem is important. But how about Judea and Samaria? Into the ends of the world. And see, the problem is that the church has never developed a plan to accomplish that. We've never developed a strategy. How can we reach Jerusalem? And how can we reach Judea? How can we reach Samaria? And how can we reach the ends of the world? But I'm telling you, church, this morning, that there's a shift that's about to take place in the body of Christ, where we're gonna be sending out people. We're gonna be launching people. I remember hearing Kenneth Copeland say, you know, I'm believing for 100,000 evangelists to go into the world. Okay, in other words, there's got to be a plan. There's got to be a strategy. There's got to be people that say, wait a minute, we have unreached people groups. We have places to go. Okay, we can't just sit idle. And I also believe that some people in the church that have been frustrated not being able to use their gifts, all right? Maybe their gifts are suited more for Judea or for an outreach, all right? You know, what's great about the mission field is that you can have all the quirks in the world and be effective. You know, you can not even be known in your own city, okay? And you can be so quirky, okay? But you get out there on the mission field and you just start going to the streets and talking to people about Jesus, and they're like, yeah, man, we love you. And you're like, yeah, you know, I'm not even loved in my own hometown, but you know. Because sometimes people's gifts are actually more suited for somewhere else. But God has gifts for each one of us, right? All right? So what I'm saying is there's a shift that's taking place where God is going to be launching and sending more people out, okay? I don't know about you, but how many of you want to do more for the kingdom? How many of you want to do more for God, okay? I don't want to just sit idle. I don't want to just sit in my seat and sit on my laurels, you know, for the rest of my life. I want to be active. I want to be doing something. Come on. I want to be a part of something marvelous and something great. Can you say amen? Come on. Can we give a shout to Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so we talked about the word, the spirit, and then the world, having a heart for the world. Number four is that there's a grace that the people had. There's a grace that God has for each one of us, a grace to prosper us. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, you think about the Apostle Paul. Think about how he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, how he oversaw the care, the burden of all the churches. And, you know, he opened up a school of Tyrannus in Acts chapter 19. Historians tell us that school was open from 11 a.m. to like 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. They had a building there that they rented, and the workers would leave at 11 a.m. because that's when it got hot, and they wouldn't come back till 4 o'clock because it was siesta time. Okay, all right, from 11 a.m. to 4. It was the hot part of the day, and these people came, and they were taught the word. They were trained, the school of Tyrannus. Paul taught them for 2 years, and the Bible says that they went out, and every person in all of Asia Minor heard the gospel. Pretty amazing, huh? Hallelujah. All right, and so Paul says this. He says, what I was able to do was not me. It was the grace of God. It was the grace of God. Yes, I labored. I worked hard. I worked harder than all of them. Okay. But he says it wasn't me. It was God's grace working with me. You know, the grace of God is the power of God. It's the equipment of God. It's the enablement of God. God is able to move you and put you in the places that you never expected before. I never imagined me doing what I'm doing. Our first trip with my friend Dr. Ron Charles, we went to Egypt to meet with the president. Well, the president couldn't meet, so we were going to meet with a cabinet, and so they gave us instructions that day. They said, "Listen, don't expect anything from us. Don't expect anything from us. All right, this is simply a meeting of introduction. So yeah, we'll be nice. All right, you be nice. And by the way, you don't talk to us unless we talk to you." I'm like, well, this is going to be an interesting meeting. And by the way, we don't make any decisions until the fourth or fifth meeting. So if you even get that far. So this is the protocol, okay? So I'm not allowed to. And no handshakes. Handshakes in the Muslim world means that you're accepted. I'm like, this is going to be a really interesting meeting. Okay. I'm not supposed to speak unless they speak to me. All right. Nothing's going to happen. Don't expect anything to happen. All right. So we get into this meeting. We meet the cabinet members. We're sitting down, and, you know, they had these servants that were serving us tea and coffee and stuff. And so we all, I'm like, okay, well, I can't shake their hand, so I guess I'll just nod. Okay, like, what do you do in the Muslim world? Okay, and so I'm like, because I didn't want to do anything out of protocol, right? So they sit down, I sit down, okay? So we're just sitting down, and we're like, they take a little tea, and okay, I'll take a little tea. And it's all quiet. I'm like, boy, this is a waste of my time. I spent thousands of dollars to get to this point. And here we are. We're going to have a meeting with them about bringing Christianity into Egypt, okay, in exchange for bringing business to Egypt. And I'm just like, this is absurd, okay? This is just crazy, okay? This is nuts, all right? So it just seemed like eternity, 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. We're just sitting there smiling. I mean, it's like being at your dinner table, okay, with family that you don't really get along with, okay? I mean, you don't even know them. So, and I'm like, well, then all of a sudden everything changed. This lady walks in, okay, with about 8 or 10 other men. This lady walks in. Okay, she's all classy. Okay, she speaks English, perfectly dressed, and I could tell these 8 or 10 men were. She wasn't commanding their attention, but she was in charge. And she came in there and she says, "Okay, let's get down to business. Okay, who are you? What's your name? All right, Brian from Virginia. Are you like the beach or the mountains?" And I say, "I like both." "Well, good, so do I." Okay. She says, "Okay, and who are you? And where are you from?" "You're from Georgia." "Okay, well, my mother lives in Georgia." And so she says, "Okay, so let's talk now." I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's a good idea." All right. So she says this. She says, "Okay, so just so you know, I know why you're here. I know what you're all about. I know why you're here. All right, and let's not delay anything. Okay, let's get down to business. And first of all, you have total favor right here. So whatever you tell us, whatever you tell me, whatever you tell this cabinet, we will do exactly what you tell us to do. So let's talk business. All right, so where do you want to start?" Okay, and so we begin to start. She said, that's a great idea. All right, write that down. Okay. Oh, that's another good idea. Yeah, write that down. All right. And so we went down the list. Okay. And then here I'm thinking, yeah, well, they were telling us not to expect anything. here's this lady who's running this meeting, and everything has changed. And we're just saying everything that we wanted to say, and just like that. And we want to see Christian. She says, I know why you're here. I know that you're Christians. I'm a Christian too. I'm a spirit-filled Christian. I said, glory to God. And so then she says this. She says, this is all good. Okay, we're gonna make some changes, and we're gonna do these things. So just so you know, all right, you're welcome and you're accepted in Egypt. You're not only accepted and welcome in Egypt, I consider you part of my family. She shook their hand a third time. She says, you're not just part of my family. I want you to know you're now part of this inner circle. Do you understand? She says, now take out your phone. I'm going to give you my personal cell phone number. She says, when you come to Egypt, you use my hotels, you use my drivers, you use the same secret service that the president has. Do you understand? So when we left that meeting, we walked out to the taxi, and we were like shaking. It was like, oh my gosh, like, how did that all happen? And I got into the taxi, and I asked the taxi driver, so the elephant in the room is, who was that lady? was she the Queen of Sheba? Well, the taxi driver started laughing. He says, no, she's even better than that. I said, what? She says, Brian, her name is so-and-so. Her father was the director of OPEC. When he passed away, he owned the Saudi Arabia Petroleum Gas Company, which was in the trillions. And she willed her 51%. She's the richest woman in the world. And she's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian living for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So the Lord told me that this morning there's a grace. There's a substance called grace living inside of each one of us. And there's a fresh grace that he wants to release to help you accomplish what it is that God's called you to do. There's no way that I can put into words the places that I've been. It's only been by the grace of God. My wife will tell you, how did they get your name? I don't even care. I don't even know, okay? But all I know is that during this season, God is going to be launching people, sending people, moving people into places and positions, okay, where maybe you never even considered. Maybe you had no earthly idea, okay? But there's a fresh grace that's available this morning, okay? It's God's power putting you in that place. It's God's equipment, okay? It's God's enablement for the assignment. See, it's all about the assignment in this hour. It's all about the assignment. What is the assignment that the church has? What is the assignment that you have individually? Okay? It's all about the assignment. Forget what it looks like. Forget whether you're, whether it's supposed to be this way or that way. I mean, because a lot of we're taught religious ways. Look, it's all about what God is calling you to do. Okay? And if you will step out and do what God's calling you to do, I tell you what, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He will put you in positions that you never ever dreamed of before. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just go ahead and move this?